Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Could we have a summary, please, of last week's program?
Okay. Last program was a continuation of surveying the state of the world at the time of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. More specifically, we reviewed briefly the state of affairs in Europe, according to H.G. Wells' description. We discussed the religious situation in Saudi Arabia, in the Arabian Peninsula, and the spread of idolatry as intermediaries between man and God. We reviewed also the social situation, which was not very encouraging: drinking, adultery, usury, and fighting. But in spite of that, we indicated that there are a number of reasons why God might have chosen that particular place to send his last prophets and messengers. And in spite of the evil that existed in the Arabian Peninsula, still it was first of all detached from the struggle that was going on between the two superpowers of the time, the Persian and Byzantine empires. Two, it was away from the complexities of theology and philosophy that was introduced into the simple teaching of the prophets of the past in the nations around them. And as such, Islam presented a theological and political alternative to the state of the world at the time. Secondly, that in spite of the remoteness of Mecca, still it was a very important geographic and trade center, and that facilitated the spread or dissemination of the message of Islam when the Prophet was sent by God. And finally, that among the Arabs, despite of their faults, they had the characteristic of being independent. They cherished freedom a great deal, especially Central Arabia, which was away from the domination of the superpowers of the time. And once they are or were convinced and sold on some ideas or ideology, they were willing to put their life on the line in defense for it. And once those people actually became Muslims, they were the greatest defenders of Islam.
So far you spoke about the environments in which the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, came. I'd like to know, was there any anticipation of his coming in his immediate environment?
Yes, in fact, there were a number of reports that many Arabs, or some of the Arabs, used to think or anticipate a prophet to come. And they felt at that time that his coming was imminent. These expectations of theirs were, in essence, based on what they heard from learned scholars or monks or clergy among the Jews and Christians. In the very famous reference in history, At-Tabari, in his second volume, and also in another equally important reference called Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, it is said that one Arabian person before the advent of Islam, who was well known by the name of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, once said that he was anticipating a prophet to come from the descendants of Ishmael, i.e. from the Arabs, that he believes in him when he comes and accepts him as a prophet. And he says, if I don't live enough or long enough to see him myself, then you should convey my regards or my greeting of peace to him. And then he went on to give even his physical features, which we'll come to in a later program perhaps, that he will be raised in Mecca, that he will be driven away and go to Yathrib, which is now called Medina, and that he said, I went around many countries, many places, examining and looking for the religion of truth. And he said that everyone I asked among the Jews and Christians, he means perhaps the learned ones, as well as the scholars of Zoroastrianism, the religion of all Persia, all of them has given me or indicated this description that I gave, he says. Now, there are some writers who do not even mention the story of Zayd and what he mentioned prior to the birth of Prophet Muhammad or his coming. But there are other people again who mention the story and raise some question about its authenticity. I believe that these doubts about that story are not justifiable for a number of reasons. First of all, the story appears in two important and among the most authentic historical references, At-Tabari and Ibn Sa'd. Secondly, that those who criticized the story did not have really a very firm ground to criticize a story like that. And I would suggest that perhaps they might have not been very familiar with the provisions in the Bible about the advent of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they might have thought that these signs are far-fetched. They are so much, consistent with the what happened later on with the characteristics of the Prophet, that they might have thought that this was too good and too specific to be true. And I'm not referring here just to the signs in the older manuscripts of the Bible that might have been in existence in the 7th or 8th century, but rather even the copies of the Bible that we have right here in our hands. I think many of those critics, even modern ones, might have not been aware about the extent of clarity of the mention of Prophet Muhammad in the Bible, even in our hands today.
Now, I realize that this topic about Muhammad in the Bible was covered before. Right. So we won't go over this extensively again. But I was wondering if you could just connect this new information which you've just given with what was conveyed, which was talked about before. Maybe briefly, if you could just form a connection.
Okay, briefly, yes, because all these were discussed, as you know, in greater detail and documented evidence. But there are a number of interesting remarks about the profile and description given by Zayd, Arab, and what we have discussed before in the Bible. Number one, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, we find again the prophecy about the blessing of the nations of the earth through the descendants of Ishmael, of Abraham, and the first son of Abraham, as we all know, is Ishmael. This is confirmed further in the book of Genesis in chapter 21 in verses 13 and 18, which specifies that God also will bless the son of the bondwoman, Hagar, that is Ishmael. This has been confirmed further in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, when it speaks in the beginning about the great personality to come from the stem of Jesse, J-E-S-S-E. We discussed previously in detail why this is not to be taken as the father of David, and we quoted Encyclopedia Biblica under names that says Jesse is an abbreviation of Ishmael, because Ishmael in Hebrew is Yishmael, Yeshi, Jesse. That is very much consistent also with the prophecy made by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, about a prophet like unto himself, who would bring also complete code of law, who will be sent from the brethren of the Israelites, i.e. the Ishmaelites. The statement made by Zayd ibn Nufail in this new information we discussed in this program here, that he will be raised in Mecca. And that's again very consistent with the Bible in the Psalms of David in Psalm number 84, especially verses 4 to 6, which speaks about the blessed one passing through the valley of Bekka. Still, it appears as Bekka in King James Version as well as the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. So the place is not far-fetched. It has been already anticipated in the Bible. The fact that he said that he will be driven out of his country and take refuge in Medina, or as it was called, Yathrib at that time. This we discussed in one of the most fascinating prophecies in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 21, especially verses 13 through 17, that speaks about the oracles concerning Arabia, connected with Kedar, who was one of the children of Ishmael, and speaks about the migration of the persecuted people and the instruction given to the people in Timan, which is in northern Arabia, close to the vicinity of Medina, to receive those refugees. The fact that he mentioned that his name would be Ahmed or Muhammad, which are both names of the Prophet, come from the same root, praise, is very much consistent not only with the Quran in Surah 61, verse 6, but consistent as well with the prophecy made by Jesus, peace be upon him, as we discussed it in great detail in several programs, about the paraclete mentioned in the Gospel according to John in chapter 14, 15, and 16. in the prophecy or the statement made by that Arab, Zayd ibn Nufayl. He said also that there will be no prophet after him. That is, there will be no more prophets. He's the last one, basically, what he's saying. And that, again, is consistent with the statement attributed to Jesus, peace be upon him, in John in chapter 14, verse 16, that this paraclete will remain with you forever, which does not necessarily mean physically, but his law, his teaching would remain forever, because no prophet is coming to supersede what he taught. In John chapter 16, verse 12, also we discussed that in the previous program, when Jesus, peace be upon him, indicates that this paracletus is going to guide you unto all truth, which means that Jesus, like many other great prophets before him, contributed to the revelation of truth. God revealed truth through them, but the completion of truth will come only with the advent of the last prophet. And the fact that it is completed truth, it means that there is no prophet after him. So that's very much consistent in various references. The same thing we discussed in a previous series of programs, I should say, also, that the gospel, discovery of the gospel of Barnabas, revealed that Jesus actually spoke about the advent of Prophet Muhammad by name in several places. So the Quran speaks about it, the gospel of Barnabas speaks about it, the Old Testament canonized, the New Testament canonized speak of that. So it's really fascinating to see how a report like that coming from an Arab, away from the basic centers of Judaism and Christianity, claims that he heard that from Jews and Christians, and then we find this consistent confirming references to the coming of the last prophet. It's just fascinating to me.
Are you aware of any report or any sign, any report of any sign that particular time about possibly unusual events or other markers that there was the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, events preceding his actual birth?
Yes, indeed. There are several of these reports from different sources, to the point that it is very difficult to really be objective enough by, and dismiss all of them as exaggeration. For example, Abu Zahra, one of the contemporary or recent scholars from Egypt, Sheikh Muhammad Abu Zahra, in his book about the Sirah, three-volume work on the life history of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, quotes from a book called Al-Iktifa in the first volume about a report on a vision or dream that was seen by Abdul Muttalib, who was the grandfather of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And what he saw in his dream, Abdul Muttalib, is that a silver chain came out of his back, and then it extended. So part of it, or one side, was connected with heavens, the other one on earth, and then there was another extension, one going towards the east and the other going towards the west. And then he saw that chain all of a sudden coming closer and becoming like a tree. So each of the chains, links in the chain, became like a leaf of a tree, and from each leaf of the tree there was light coming. And then he saw people from various nations, he said from east and west, coming and hanging by that tree. And when Abdul Muttalib, that was before the birth of the Prophet, saw this dream, he went to some people who